Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, October 11th, 2017. With me today, Kelly Gumont. How's it going, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I am doing all right. And Jeff Butts, how are you?
Still doing great.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. And I'm glad you're both here. It's just always fun to get to hang out with you guys. And I know I say that to like everyone, but it's true. I just have so much fun. I love it. Hey, we might as well jump right in. And let's look at this whole thing about how Apple is such a horrible company because they are intentionally doing things to slow down our iPhones to trick us into buying new ones. I hate when they do that. Oh, wait.
Balderdash.
Balderdash indeed. Now, of course, we all know that's not at all what happens. But Jeff, you can shed some light on this.
Yeah, you know, it's put take off the tinfoil hat. It's all going to be okay. Mm-hmm. The fact is, every time a new iPhone is released, every time a new version of iOS is released, Google searches for iPhone slow spike.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the benchmarks are what really tell the truth.
Right.
And the benchmarks show that in terms of the graphics processing unit and the CPU, models as old as the iPhone 5S have maintained almost the same benchmarks since iOS 8. No, iOS 9.
Okay.
9, 10, and 11, almost the same across the board.
Okay, so if I'm interpreting what you're saying correctly, what you're saying is that Apple's hardware running Apple's operating system version iOS 8 or 9, 10, or 11 is showing essentially the same performance on a device as you would have gotten when you first bought it.
Right.
Okay.
Now, why do things seem slower?
That's a great question.
That's because the app developers are no longer optimizing their apps for iPhones beyond maybe two generations back.
Thank you.
So we've got the iPhone 7 right now. They're optimizing for the 7 and the 6S and maybe the 6.
Okay.
But even then, the 6 is only a maybe. Like, yeah, you, like right. 6S, you might be all right. But the problem people are having is not with... The problem tends to be when you're not using system apps. If people were only using phone and messages and mail and Safari, those aren't the people who are complaining because those right. apps are meant for that operating system. And when you download a new operating system, you get a new version of those things. So if you're only sticking to what Apple gives you, you're probably not one of the people who is Googling for why it got so slow.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that can slow things down is if you're using some of the newer features.
Okay.
For example, you know, I can use ARKit apps just fine on my 7 Plus. But I would expect that my girlfriend, who has a 6S, would probably have a little bit of a not-so-smooth experience with ARKit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even run ARKit on an iPhone 6, is that right?
Correct.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, so Apple is intentionally limiting features to what I'm assuming is to help prevent iPhones from getting drugged down to their knees.
So why don't we just say it? Apple is limiting features to prevent exactly what they're being accused of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the irony. Isn't it? All right, so I'm also wondering if part of the problem is that at some point people get used to the faster performance that they had when they got the device, mm-hmm. which now becomes the normal performance. And so they do this kind of subconscious thing where their expectation for what performance they should be seeing changes
yeah.
because they're used to what it is now. So it doesn't seem fast anymore.
And not everybody moves backups either. So right. If you're moving a backup from a previous phone, you're moving a certain amount of cruft from that previous phone. You're moving all kinds of other things. And if you're a person who is only relying on iCloud to backup, for example, and you're never copying, say, your camera roll off of your phone into something else, mm-hmm. you could also be running into issues because your phone is at or near capacity. And when your phone gets there, it gets a little pokey. Ask me how I know. So these are things that also can contribute to your phone being slow.
Yeah. And the other thing that's going to contribute to you thinking that your phone is slow is your friend who just got the brand new model.
Fast one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And of course, that always sucks when you get that new phone envy. Because your friend does have a phone that is operating faster than yours.
Mm-hmm. But new phone envy does not mean Apple is slowing your device down.
Okay, so just to be clear, Apple is not doing anything with the operating system to intentionally slow down iPhones.
No.
And in fact, they have done a lot to maintain the same level of performance for a device as it goes to newer operating systems.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how long ago did the 5S come out?
Well, we've had 6, 6S, 7, and 8, so it's 4 years old.
Yeah. Try that. Try upgrading from, say, Jelly Bean to Lollipop.
And for those of you that think that we just started our Willy Wonka review, no, those are code names for versions of Android OS.
Right.
Yeah.
What are they on now? Oreo?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a good thing they're not letting me come up with those code names. Let's just leave it at that. All right. So no conspiracy here. And no. My guess is that if there was, that Apple would have already been hammered with lawsuits and federal investigations.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, then how about something that's clearly more fun than lawsuits and federal investigations? Mm-hmm. And that's amazing stories. And what I'm talking about is the television series that Steven Spielberg produced.
Back in the
I was going to say I had an amazing story, but no, let's go on with Steven Spielberg.
Okay. Well, maybe yours should be on television.
Maybe.
So Steven Spielberg did this TV series. And I'm trying to remember, was it the late 80s or early 90s?
Late 80s.
Late 80s.
And so it was sort of like the Twilight Zone, but it was, I want to say, a little more lighthearted.
Yeah.
And it was loads of fun. Well, the deal is that there's a deal, and Apple has struck or gotten a contract together with Steven Spielberg, and they're going to reboot Amazing Stories for Apple Music.
That could be exactly what Apple Music needs.
Apple Music needs to stop calling itself music if they're going to give me TV shows that aren't about music.
My God, Kelly. Let's talk about music television where there are no music videos.
Okay, it started life that way, and they don't call it music television anymore. They just call it MTV.
Which stands for what?
It stands for MTV now. So, haha. And they've started showing music videos again when they brought back TRL, which they just did. So, the point is, when they were giving me, like, music and then giving me TV shows about music, that made sense. This doesn't make sense. And why doesn't it make sense? Because it came from the same people who gave me iTunes, where I can buy a movie and play it on a phone, and neither of those things are tunes. I'm still very grumpy about Apple and their less than stellar history with naming things.
Well, at least they're consistent.
This is true, and I am excited about Amazing Stories. I'm glad it's coming back. It was fun.
So, my take on this is that the powerhouse team that Apple has been hiring to manage their video offerings mm-hmm. has been earning their paychecks because we're getting what I see as high profile deals like this happening now. And, The whole thing with Planet of the Apps, that was just a bucket of hurt right there. And then Carpool Karaoke, that's a show that seems to be very divisive. There are people that think it is hideous and other people that are enjoying it.
Well, at least it makes sense. That's the thing I'll give it.
Yeah. So we've got that, and we know there's some other projects in the work. Now we know this is coming along, and this is a pretty high profile thing, and to get Spielberg to say, yeah, let's do it. All right. I'm really intrigued. Yeah. So I'm curious what other high profile, if we're going to look at reboots just for fun,
mm-hmm.
what others would you guys like to see?
Oh, you did not want to ask Kelly about this.
Oh, no, I totally wanted to ask Kelly about this.
Love Boat.
Seriously.
Right?
Okay.
Why can't we have the Love Boat back?
I suppose we could. I wonder.
Let's see. We would have the boat running aground, food poisoning in the buffet. I don't think a modern Love Boat is a great idea, Kelly.
I'll be in my
boat. I think we just need to not put you in charge of it, hon.
All right. Well, if we're going to go back that far, now that I think about it, a Fantasy Island reboot could be amazing.
Maybe.
That.
Maybe. But it's the same sort of idea where we just roll through all of our guest stars each week.
Yeah.
Like there's a real, you know, it's almost an anthology series, like Amazing Stories. There's very mm-hmm. little ties them all together. And that's one of the things that I enjoyed about Love Boat. It was a light comedy and, you know, not quite as, I don't know. See, here's the thing is when I was a kid, my mom specifically never let me watch Fantasy Island. And I don't know why, but Love Boat was okay. And I don't know, again, I don't know why. Because I watch them now and I'm like, huh. So I really like I don't understand what the big deal was. But, you know, like maybe because I was five or something, it would have been a problem. I don't know. So the thing that would be the most interesting to me, at least for Apple Music, would be a variety show. Because what's one of Kelly's favorite all-time TV programs?
I'm going to guess Carol Burnett's show is right up there on the list.
Yes, but also The Muppet Show, which was, in essence, a variety television program.
The Muppet Show.
Yeah.
So give me that. Give me Justin Timberlake or Wayne Brady or somebody who is decent at acting and can also sing and dance a little and put a show together.
Wait a minute. I thought you said Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake can sing. Justin Timberlake put out the best Michael Jackson record we've had in 15 years.
But you also said someone who could act.
I said a little.
Oh.
You don't have to be good at any of these things to be a variety show. Now, sometimes you get an exceptional person, but, you know, for every Flip Wilson, you've got Sonny Bono. So, you know. Like, come at me with your variety shows.
See, for me. So
that would be great, I think.
For me, it's more sci-fi. Bring me Joss Whedon. Mm-hmm. Rebooting Firefly.
I don't want a Firefly reboot. I just want a Firefly continuation.
That would be fine too.
Yeah.
And Red Dwarf.
Okay. If we're going to go sci-fi, why doesn't, I mean, I know why not, but make a deal where you can get maybe one of the Star Wars universe TV shows.
That would be nice.
But of course, that's not going to happen.
Well,
but still,
Star Wars is owned by Disney, which has a very good relationship with Apple. I know Netflix has locked up the Marvel deals, but we haven't really heard a lot about Star Wars. And I know they're going to hold that for their own service. But yes, it would be nice if maybe they could put one out this way as a test and see, because I have a lot of opinions about that whole other deal. So.
Because they've already made up their own minds that they're going to take everything away and put it in their own walled garden.
Yeah. Right. And that's fine, because I'm not going to pay for that. I might pay for something where I can get access to other stuff, but it's the same thing CBS is doing with Star Trek, which is we're only going to give you this if you pay us. And guess what? I'm not going to pay you because you're not giving me anything else. And Remember, you're talking to Kelly, and I have R2-D2 and C-3PO on my house key because I will buy most things if they have Star Wars on them. And I won't buy this service to get Star Wars stuff. So I'm with you on the science fiction stuff, Jeff. If that's a route that they want to go, bring back Jim Henson's The Storyteller. You don't really, you know, you may need to remaster that stuff if you want to sell it in 4K, but like that might be a fun thing to put out that you wouldn't really have to do anything with. Maybe give us season 4 and 5 of The Muppet Show, which again, I know is part of a Disney deal that, you know, means we probably won't get them, but season 4 and season 5 were never officially released on disc. Again, yeah. Ask me how I know. Put out the first 3 seasons. You've got them on DVD already, so they're at least a reasonable quality. Like, put that stuff out on Apple Music, and that's like a gimme. You know, people would do that for free.
Kelly, I just came up with a show idea.
Yes.
You need to be sitting down, okay? Like, seriously.
Hold on. Let me sit down again.
Okay.
Okay.
So, how about if Apple does like Amazon is doing, and they look to more of the indie stuff? Because, you know, Amazon, they just rebooted The Tick.
I know.
And it's really good.
I know.
So, how about if Apple strikes a deal and does a series, Stumptown?
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. Now,
yes, please.
For those of you that don't know what just happened here, Stumptown is it's a comic book series that takes place in Portland, and you have this sort of anti-hero. It's this woman who's a private detective. And she has a very flawed life, and the stories are just wonderful. So,
and she solves cases, and so it's like a new thing each week, sort of grim style, because some of what she investigates dabbles in supernatural stuff. But it's a new thing every week. Something happens, and she has to go like get to the bottom of why. So. Yes. Yeah,
I don't like making this comparison, but because people will get this more, it would be like if you had Jessica Jones without superpowers.
Yes. That's far more accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Grimm has Portland and weirdy creatures. So.
All right. So I think that it's unfortunate Apple hasn't hired us as programming directors, because we'd be making some stuff happen right now.
Right? Like, I can talk to Matthew Southworth and make Stumptown a thing. Come on. And Greg Rucka. And like, let me tell you guys, this is the thing that needs to happen. That would be so amazing. And yeah, I'm with you on this. I think, but mostly I want to see The Love Boat. I feel like that's a far more likely scenario.
All right. Well,
as bad as I want Stumptown, I think The Love Boat is the more realistic of the two.
Okay. So
think about who I'm going to cast in the Stumptown show.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear your list. And we only have a couple minutes left. So before we wrap up, Kelly,
yes.
You are deeply involved with App Camp for Girls.
I am indeed.
And there is a new fundraiser happening.
There is.
Tell me about that, please.
Okay, so App Camp has started a new fundraiser on Indiegogo. And the reason that this one in particular is important is because we want to expand to 3 cities in the next 3 years. So we're calling it App Camp 2020. Mm-hmm. And we want to get out there, and we don't know what the cities are yet. We haven't like picked 3 that we're going to go build in. So if you want to have input on that, you can always get at us and let us know where you want to have App Camp. Keeping in mind that it takes a lot of resources for camp. We need a space to do it. We need access to schools where we can find campers who will come to camp. We need developers who ideally are in those cities so that we have people who can be there for an entire week and be there to help, you know, instruct with the curriculum and answer questions and help our campers build the apps that they're building. And we need people in town who are good with event planning and maybe have done, you know, camps for kids before. And we need, you know, people in the area who are able to help with things like, you know, coordinating lunches for volunteers and snacks and volunteers. Like, it takes a lot of adults to put on a camp for high school kids. So we're looking for, we need money to make most of those resources happen. But we also need people and we also need time. So you know, time from those people. So please let us know if you're one of those people. We do have an interest form on our site you can go and fill out and let us know, because that does help dictate where we want to expand camp to next. Mm-hmm. So for all of the people who are asking why we don't have a camp in wherever they are, in the Bay Area, in New York, in Boston, in
Boulder,
we don't have any connections there where people have said, I have a space where you can have camp, or I have, you know, I'm a volunteer with this technology program in high schools in the area or anything like that. Like, we don't have any of those people. So we need those people in order to build camp where you are. Wherever you are, we can build camp where you are as long as we have the resources to do it. So here's how, one of the ways that we get resources is you can go to our Indiegogo campaign. There'll be a link in the show notes. Mm-hmm. You can watch a video of me telling you all of the things that we get out of that, which is still very weird to me. The video is basically just me talking for the most part.
Were you expecting you would dance as well?
No, I wasn't expecting it to just be me sitting there talking, and that's exactly what it is. There's some pictures and stuff, but you can get a really cool looking t-shirt. And more importantly to a lot of people, there's a set of notebooks that have a really awesome design on them. They're like field note sized, Moleskine sized notebooks. A little set of these notebooks with a custom design cover that we've had put together and can give to you. There's a neat t-shirt. There's a mixtape, which features the double clicks, which is one of the perks. The double clicks actually put it together for us. We love them. So there's a variety of different perks that are really cool. Aside from the fact that you are actually helping fix a problem that a lot of people talk about, but not everybody necessarily takes action on. And that is, making tech a little more interesting looking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a lot of dudes, and we're trying to do a little bit to change that. So, come and help us out. If you have questions, you can get a hold of TMO Daily Observations, all the usual ways. And, I will do my very best to answer things for you if you want to know more.
Awesome. And like Kelly said, I'll have a link to the fundraiser in the show notes, trying to hit $75,000. And I'm betting that you're going to do that without any trouble. So, hey, we're out of time. We have to wrap up. Kelly, Okay. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Great to be here.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.